I just want to turn, friends, to one verse of Scripture today. It's the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms. And it's verse 17 of Psalm number 9. Psalm 9 and verse number 17. Just as our brother was finishing his testimony, he made mention of eternity. And I just want to speak upon that subject for a few moments, and I will be brief, but we trust that God will write his word on our hearts. This is going to be a short but solemn message, and we trust that God will apply it to our hearts and lives today. Psalm 9 and verse number 17. The psalmist said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. I don't think there's any subject in all the world so unpopular and so contrary to human thinking and the reason of natural man than the subject of hell. The fact that Almighty God would cast an unpenitent sinner into the lake of fire is something that we just would scarcely believe could happen. It is a subject that is denied by many. There are people in our world today that just flat deny that God is a God of justice and a God of judgment, and they would just say, there is no hell. And then there are others who would deride the fact that there's a hell, and they would say it's all just one big joke. It's something that preachers, evangelists, or Christians use to try to scare people. And then there's others who would dilute the doctrine. And they would say, well, yes, there's a hell, but it's not really a place of torment or suffering. This world is hell, some people say, or hell is just to be put out of existence. But if the Word of God teaches us anything, it teaches us that there is a literal hell for every sinner outside of Christ. But the wonderful message of the gospel is that there is a Christ for every sinner outside of hell. The patriarchs spoke about hell. The psalmists spoke about hell. The prophets all spoke about hell. Peter and Paul spoke about hell. But the one man who spoke about hell more than anybody else was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Maybe this afternoon you ask the question, well, if there is a hell, why is there a hell? There is a hell because God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. Our brother related in his testimony that on several occasions the law caught up with him, and the penalty of the law was inflicted and instituted, and he spent time in Borstal and in Crumlin Road. That's because there was a law and justice was carried out. But there's a greater law than the laws that the world have given, the law of God. And God is eternal. And whenever we sin against our Creator, we sin against one who is eternal. And God is just and will inflict the penalty of his law. Maybe you say, well then, where is hell? Where is it? I'm not sure. Some people believe it's below us. Some people believe it's out there in the universe somewhere. We're not sure. The Bible speaks about outer darkness. I'm not sure where hell is. But I'll tell you, hell is at the end of the Christless life. And then other people will say, well, if there's a hell, what's hell like? The Bible doesn't tell us much about hell, but it tells us that in hell there are several things. Flame. Chains. And darkness. And then you maybe ask the question, well, if there's a hell, who goes to it? And that's the question we're going to answer in the closing moments of this meeting. This verse of Scripture says, the wicked shall be turned or cast into hell, and all nations that forget God. Who goes to hell? First of all, the unregenerate go to hell. Those people who have never been born again. Our brother talked about receiving and experiencing the new birth. Just in his home, as he read the scriptures by his fireside, as he sought the Lord, he was wonderfully converted, wonderfully born again. And the Bible says, in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said to a very devout religious man, a man who was upright and decent and moral, his name was Nicodemus, and the Lord said to him, as he came to Jesus one evening, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, well, how can these things be? How can a man enter into his mother's womb and be born again? And the Lord said, Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Friends, it's the great necessity. You'll never be in heaven. These are the words of Christ. You'll never be in God's kingdom unless you're born again by the Spirit of God. You'll never be there by human effort. You'll never be there by church membership. You'll never be there by trying to adhere to a code of ethics. You'll never get to heaven by turning over a new leaf. You'll only ever be in God's heaven if you're born again. To be born again means that you receive spiritual life. The Bible says that we're all dead in trespasses and in sins. We inherited Adam's sin. We inherited Adam's sinful nature. And we also inherited that spiritual death that Adam experienced whenever he took of that forbidden fruit and disobeyed God. And as we said on Friday night, that spiritual part of man is dead. And whenever a person is born again, it's like their spirit comes alive and God gives to that person spiritual life. But if you're not born again, you'll not be in heaven. And the scripture says there's only one alternative to God's heaven. And it's God's hell. Much has been said today about the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Revelation 20, the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the book. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And he says, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. But those people that were standing before the throne were alive. But they were spiritually dead. Because they had never been born again. The unregenerate find themselves in hell. Can I ask you today, have you ever been born again? Then secondly, the unrepentant find themselves in hell. The word repentance as a word in our society is almost obsolete. It's often thought that the only people that really need to repent are people that are in the gutter. Maybe somebody that's committed murder, or somebody that's been a child abuser, or somebody that's been a drug dealer and has destroyed the lives of other people. People like that need to repent. But decent, middle class, church-going people, they don't need to repent. Sure, what would I repent of? Well, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to the people of Jerusalem. Devout religious people, Jewish people. They believed in God. They sought to keep God's law. They went to their temple. They went to their synagogues. They went to their places of worship. And the Lord made mention of a couple of events that had happened recently in that community and in that society. And he spoke about people who Pilate, the Roman governor, had taken, and he had mingled their blood with his sacrifices, and he had killed them. And there were rumors circulating that the reason that happened was because these people were so wicked and so sinful. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, do you suppose that they were greater sinners than you? He says, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then he talked about a tower that fell in a place called Siloam. And he says, do you think that the 18 people that died there died because they were greater sinners than you? He says, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In fact, the first recorded word that our Savior ever preached was the word repent. And to repent means to have a change of mind, a change of heart, and a change of emotion about sin. That means to turn around, to do a U-turn, to do an about-turn. Very often a drill instructor would shout repent to his squadron as they're marching, and it means that they turn around 180 degrees and they change direction. The scripture says that naturally speaking, we're on a broad road that leads to destruction. And the only way we can get off that broad road is to repent, to do a U-turn, to turn around, and to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. Teacher once asked her children in a Sunday school class, what is repentance? One wee boy put up his hand and says, to repent is to be sorry enough for your sin to quit it. Now, there's a lot of people that say they're going to heaven. There's even a lot of people that say they're saved, but they go on living the same way they lived before they became a Christian. That's not Bible salvation. Scripture says, and our brother has related it today, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And I ask you today, have you ever been born again? Have you repented of your sin? Because the unrepentant and the unregenerate, the Bible teaches us, find themselves one day in God's hand. You say, well, who else goes to hell? The unredeemed go to God's hell. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, that the only human beings that are in heaven are those that have been redeemed out of every kindred, every tribe, and every nation by our Savior's blood. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And the word redeem means to purchase or to buy back. You have the image, perhaps, of a pawn shop. Something has been put into the pawn shop and somebody else comes along and they pay the price and they redeem it, they buy it back. And the image of redemption is that the whole world is lost and we're on the slave market of sin, captive by the devil. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ left the splendor of heaven. The verse has been quoted already. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. How that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he came into this world with the purpose and the intention that he's going to redeem sinners by his own precious blood. Scripture says you're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I remember several years ago hearing the testimony of an Elam pastor. His name was Sid Murray. In fact, I was sitting in the meeting and I was just thinking, the last time I saw him was just across the street at the amphitheater here, maybe about 15 years ago. I'm not sure if he's still alive or not. He was a reckless man. He was involved in some of the paramilitary organizations. He had King Billy tattooed on his back. He was a heavy drinker. And he used to pawn his best belongings so that he could buy money for drink. There was a pawn shop at the end of the street. And after he was converted, he wrote a little book concerning his testimony. And the title of it was Out of the Devil's Pawn Shop. And as he thought about all of those precious belongings that he put into that pawn shop in the hope that someday he would be able to buy them back, he thought about his own soul. How that for years his soul had been in the devil's pawn shop. And if the Lord Jesus Christ did not save him, and he never found himself redeemed by precious blood, he would be the devil's forever. Praise God, he got converted and he was redeemed out of the devil's pawn shop. I want to tell you this afternoon, friend, there is a redeemer. Jesus, God's own Son. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah. The Holy One, and there's only one Redeemer, friends, and he can save you this afternoon. Who goes to hell? The unregenerate. The unrepentant. The unredeemed. And then lastly, the unremembered. There's a little verse I want to leave you with, and we're just finished in a moment or two. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 10. Solomon here is the speaker. He's talking about funeral services that he's been to. He's looking back over his life and thinking of all of the experience that he's had, thinking about his belongings, thinking about his wives, his concubines, his children, and everything that he sought to live for in life. And you know what the conclusion he comes to is? It's all empty. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. My belongings, my labors, everything that I've lived for, it's all empty. It doesn't satisfy. And then he thinks about some of the people that he's rubbed shoulders with in life. And he says this in Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 10. And I saw the wicked buried. Listen to what it says after that. I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. And they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This also is vanity. The wicked shall be turned into hell. Solomon says, I saw the wicked buried. And folks, one day you and I will be buried. Or else cremated. And we have all stood beside gravesides. We have all heard what the minister has to say. And we often hear what the mourners have to say. And if we're absolutely honest today, a lot of it's just lip service. Sorry for your trouble. We'll be thinking about you. 5 minutes later in the church hall or in some other place, we're talking about everything under the sun. I've stood at gravesides and performed burials, opened the Word of God, and people have been standing in the background laughing and looking at their watches and talking to each other about everything under the sun. Solomon says, I saw the wicked buried. And someday you'll be buried. And it doesn't really matter what the minister says or what the mourner says. All that matters is what the Messiah says. And you'll notice here that Solomon says that these people who had been buried, he says they were wicked, but he says, I had watched them come and go from the place of the holy. They had a form of godliness. They had the semblance of being religious. They went to the temple. They went to the synagogue. But just like everybody else, one day they were buried. And someday you'll be buried. And maybe you have come and gone as well from the place of the holy. Maybe you belong to a church and you go to God's house frequently. You might be very zealous for your religion or for your denomination and you go to God's house faithfully. Maybe even fervently, you wouldn't miss it. Some of you maybe go to God's house fleetingly. For weddings. For funerals. For christenings. Or maybe for a special service at Christmas or Easter. Or maybe for a gospel mission because somebody else has invited you. But I want to tell you, if you come and go to God's house and you hear the gospel and you're not saved, whether you go to God's house frequently or faithfully or fleetingly or fervently, you come and go foolish. You know the gospel. You know that a Savior has died. But you're still not converted yourself. And Solomon says, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten. They were forgotten in the city where they had so done. You know, I often think about myself, and I think, you know, if I died, I wonder who would really care, who would remember. You know, the world would just go on. The world wouldn't stop because I've died, or anybody in this room has died. Some of your nearest and dearest might remember you. But generally speaking, you'll be forgotten. Forgotten of man. You die without Christ. And you're forgotten of God. Unremembered. Luke 16 talks about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man died and was buried and in hell lift up his eyes. His name is never given. But Lazarus, the old beggar, went to be in Abraham's bosom, a Jewish expression for heaven. Why was the rich man's name not given? Because it was erased from the book of life. He was forgotten of God. The dying thief prayed that great prayer. Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. wonder in the closing moments of this meeting if God has spoken to you through the testimony, through this text of Scripture. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations forget God. Would you do something in the closing moments of this meeting? Would you still your heart? Realize that salvation is a gift. Call upon the Lord. Ask Him to save you. We can be of any help to you. We are your servants for Christ's sake. But let's just have a word of prayer together. Let's pray.